Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is Matt Spiegel, and I can't wait to bring you Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. It's a job so special that even Joe Buck told us he will probably go back to it.
I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. I think at some point I'll get the itch again.
Incredible guests sharing great stories from your favorite teams coming this year. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
All right, Brian, before we get started on these Giants, I had a chance to run through their first two games. I know you've gotten to watch them a little bit, so we'll talk about the Giants here as they get ready to play them on Monday Night Football. Before we do, one other note on the coordinator discussion that I thought was interesting. Kellen Moore had talked about, he was asked about them going for it on that 4th and 2, which I know you told us on Monday that for you was the play of the game, going for it on that first drive. And it was interesting that he said that Kellen Moore said that when they were getting ready to call the play on third down, that Mike clicked over on the headset and told Kellen Moore, hey, get a play ready for fourth down, because if we don't get it here, we're going for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, that's what I'm talking about. That's a guy right there, you know, and maybe there's more of that, you know. And then, you know, when we start to ask questions about Mike helping the offense or helping the defense or influencing, that's what I want my coach to do. I want my coach going and being ahead of the game, managing the game. Great job. Mike, there was no hesitation at all. I thought maybe, oh, they're trying to make him burn a timeout here. They're going to try and draw him offside, some of that crap. But Mike set the tone very early in that game for Kellen Moore. Hey, listen, get two plays ready. I'm going for it on fourth down. So Kellen knows now what to call. And I think that helps. I love when I hear stories like that of the head coach doing things like that.
Yeah, encouraging stuff. And again, like you mentioned there, knowing that they were going to go for it, you don't want to be that team that you just expect to hit it on third down, it fails, and then you go, well, what do we do?
And you burn,
and then comes on and then goes off.
Yeah, you burn a timeout. Denver's going through that right now with their coach.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Nathaniel Hackett's, you know, he's going through
he's not hacking it very well.
No, he's not. Yeah. So now we're talking about these Giants. They are 2-0. Man, ahead of the Cowboys. I don't know that a lot of people would have seen that. They get the week one win against Tennessee. Man, get that lead. Randy Bullock comes in, shanks a 40-something yard field goal. They preserve the win there. They win an ugly football game against the Panthers. Just some of our general takeaways. First off, I gotta say, man, watching especially the Titans game, Tennessee shot themselves in the foot. That's a game. Yeah. The Giants should have lost that game. That was right there for the taking for Tennessee, and they just blew that one. Let's start with a good thing first, Brian. I think this is the week Kevontae Turpin runs back a kick, because
you're watching special teams.
Man, they don't cover well at all on punts or kicks. Now they'll. One thing I have noticed about them on special teams and defense, and I don't know if this is a Wink Martindale thing on defense or what, they do try to punch the ball out pretty consistently, and they've had some success forcing some fumbles. But man, Kyle Phillips got him for a little bit. Chuba Hubbard,
Darnay Holmes, and the Carolina game was ripping the ball loose on the.
But they've given up some chunk returns in the punt return game and in the kickoff return game. So I think this could be the game where Kevontae Turpin breaks out. What's one of your, I guess, overarching takeaways right off the bat about what this Giants team looks like?
Well, I tell you what, I think they're very well coached. I'm a big fan of their head coach,
Brian Daboll,
and I love Mike Kafka. Who's the offensive coordinator there? I know that Brian calls the plays, but I'm sure that Mike, you know, puts the game plans and stuff together so Brian can call But, you know, my buddy Andy Reid, who, you know, I was with in Green Bay, and now, of course, he's in Kansas City. But he hated the fact that he lost Mike Kafka. He was trying to, you know, he was trying to get, who was my guy there, the running back?
Eric Bieniemy.
He's trying to get Eric Bieniemy the job somewhere. You know, Eric Bieniemy interviewing for all these jobs.
Yeah.
And Andy was sincere about trying to help him, trying to get a job. And then, you know, because he didn't want to lose Mike Kafka. And finally, Mike Kafka said, you know what? I got to go out here and be one of these OCs and then maybe get a head coaching job like we've seen from the Shanahan tree or the McVay tree or one of those things. And so, you know, good, you know, it sucks for Andy and it sucks that in our division here with the Cowboys, but for them to have Kafka and then Wink Martindale as the defensive coordinator, I think says an awful lot about the direction of where that giant brain trust is going. When you watch them play, though,
yeah,
it doesn't look like with Garrett. It would always appear like they were playing in a phone booth. Everything was so tight,
not now,
compressed and all that. No, they look pretty wide open. And I'll tell you another thing that I've noticed about it's not about Kenny Golladay or Tony or Slayton or one of those. They're playing with guys like Sills and Shepard,
Richie James.
I mean, it's if you weren't brought in by this new GM and these coaching staff and stuff, you're kind of like on the back burner a little bit right now.
Yeah, I mean, really the only holdover who he is their preferred target when they decide to take shots deep is Sterling Shepard. Yeah. Sterling Shepard's still their big play guy. But overall, let's talk about how that offense looks different.
That line is going to have some problems.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a
maybe
second.
Maybe not like the Bengal line, but that line's going to have some problems.
That left tackle, Andrew Thomas, is pretty damn good, but the rest of it's very shaky, especially the interior. The interior, man, goodness, there's going to be some problems there. First off, in terms of how things look, I don't know about you, Brian. What I've seen a lot of early on, you can see that Bills influence because there's a lot of eye candy, especially before the snap. There's a lot of motion at the snap.
Yeah.
There's a lot of movement, and they're big on these read options. They're definitely trying to do some of the Josh Allen stuff with Daniel Jones. And look, Daniel Jones, you know, we saw Burrow break the pocket a couple times, get some big runs, pick up a first down on a third and long. That's something the Cowboys defense will have to guard against with Daniel Jones because he'll run it. He'll take off if he needs to.
No, he absolutely will, and we've seen him last year. I mean, remember some of those runs he had? I mean, he tripped himself.
Yeah, he had the famous trip in the open field.
But yeah, there's going to be some struggle there. And you're right. The influence. I need to go back. The influence of Brian Daboll with when you see it with Josh Allen stuff.
Yeah.
You see it with that with the read option stuff and things like that. So. Yeah, and Saquon Barkley running the ball well too.
He looks like his old self running the ball.
But how long will he stay healthy? That's always going to be the question with him. But I kind of feel like though that if the Cowboys, there are a couple of different spots. Just watching that Carolina game along that offensive line, you're right. I just don't think they're very good inside. And I know the Cowboys dealt with that. With Tampa not being very good inside.
Giants are worse.
The Giants are far worse. And so we'll see. Evan Neal is, you know, the rookie at right tackle. He is a big, mammoth guy. How, you know, is that one of those?
He had been a little shaky early.
Yeah.
Not been great.
Not been great at all. And I'm thinking like, okay, well, here we are, you know, 350 pounds. Where's your quickness? Where's your foot quickness? Where are the things? When you watched him play at Alabama, the people that did give him trouble were the people that had the quickness.
Yeah.
You know, because when he could get his hands on you, he could be an absolute monster.
Yeah, he's a mauler.
But when he has to deal and reach and all that, you could take him off balance a little bit. So I'm picking some spots with Micah Parsons. I'm picking some spots with Tank. I'm picking some spots with Fowler here and try and find a way to kind of make these guys have to reach for me as some run block or some pass block.
Man, I think this could be a big day for Oso Odighizuwa because we talk about that interior is having so much trouble. Jeffrey Simmons is a really good player for Tennessee, but if you watch Jeffrey Simmons against the Giants, it looks like Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
I mean,
Jeffrey Simmons is a really good player.
He's a really good player, but I mean, it looks like a Hall of Famer. There is every single snap. He is back there, and Daniel Jones is running for his life. Yep. I will say this. One thing about Daniel Jones, one thing I admire about him, I know he's one of these popular guys that fan bases seem to like to kick and make fun of and troll. I respect the hell out of that guy for how tough he is. He is tough. He takes a lot of shots, and he'll stand in there and make a throw knowing he's going to get crushed. And I have a lot of respect for the toughness of Daniel Jones.
I agree with you, too. I think that, you know, Jason Garrett the last couple of years, I mean, that whole thing, Joe Judge, they did no favors at all with him.
Now, looking at the defensive side of the ball, we talk about the influence of the kind of Bills concepts on the offense. You know what stood out to me watching that defense right away is, boy, that's Wink Martindale, because when it's a high-pressure situation, it's zero blitz.
Yeah.
When it's getting late and it's crunch time and they need to stop, Wink Martindale is sending, you know, eight people.
He's got a lot of faith. He's got a lot of faith in his guys. But it sounds like that Leonard Williams, I mean, they have not – I don't believe they played with
Ojulari or
Thibodeau.
Thibodeau.
So we'll see how – monitor that this week with those two guys. But also, it's not like that Leonard Williams is out for a couple of weeks here from what – the very talented
has an MCL sprain.
Defensive tackle. So if they don't have Leonard Williams and they don't have Ojulari and they don't have Thibodeau, where's the pass rush going to come from?
See, that's the thing, and that's one of the reasons I think you are seeing the Wink
Martindale. They have to blitz.
Because they are not getting pressure with the front four at all. The defensive line isn't generating anything. I'll tell you one guy on the defensive line who's looked okay to me at times is, oddly enough, somebody who's flashed occasionally, an old Cowboys friend, Jihad Ward.
Jihad Ward.
Has popped up a couple times. And O'Shane Zimenez, the old you scouted him a couple years ago out of Old Dominion. He was the Old Dominion pass rusher. He's been okay at times. But overall, man, I feel like there's a real opportunity for the Cowboys to control the trenches against the Giants.
I do, too. I agree with that. And I'm going to dig in more on the film as we get – and as we get to a later part of the week – interested, you know, in getting on maybe a Giants guest with us too. I've reached out to some folks and we'll figure it out. But yeah, I'm interested how they're going to handle this. And I'll mention something too. Cordell Flock is a corner that they have. It was a third round pick from LSU.
He's had to step in with some injuries.
Yeah, he's had to play quite a bit, and he's a guy that's a little bit of a thin kind of a guy, kind of a narrow...
Couple small corners, because you've got Flott and you've got Adoree Jackson.
Adoree Jackson, so...
Who's played really well, actually, early
if
on.
Maybe with a little bit of... Maybe a little bit of your size could take advantage of these guys as well.
I'll tell you one thing that I've also noticed, both from Tennessee and Carolina going up against the Giants, and this isn't something we see a lot of with the Cowboys. I don't think we've seen Kellen Moore call this very much at all. Giants seem to be really susceptible to some of these counter runs.
Yeah.
You get things going this way and come back this way. They were getting they got hit on a couple of those from Tennessee and New York, and that's not something I don't think I've noticed. I mean, have you? It doesn't seem like that's something Kellen Moore likes to call much at all. There doesn't seem to be a whole lot.
Well,
of
remember the one big play that Zeke had in this last game, 11-yard run. Was a counter play going to the left.
It was, yeah. And that was Tyler Smith.
They caved everything down on the left side.
Smith ended up on the ground after, but started and cleared some space.
They took Martin and Steele and pulled them and got him up and around. So it was down and around with two guys, and the ball went off that left tackle spot. 11-yard run. So
absolutely. So I think that's an area where if you can get everything kind of flowing this way and come back, the Giants seem to struggle with that. Does that, to you, spell a big opportunity for Tony Pollard and some of his quickness and what he's able to do?
You got to. I think anything to get him on the edge, I think, is always a good recipe for a win.
Now, when you look at, you know, when we talk about the zero blitz stuff and Wink Martindale liking to bring some of that pressure, how big is Cooper Rush being a steady hand, being able to you know, stand in there with steely nerves and be able to stare down the rush? Because it comes quick. When you've got Baltimore, they've done that for years. They just like you snap the ball and you got to make a play almost instantly.
Well, the problem is you're running into is the inexperience you have along the offensive line, with the exception of the right guard and right.
Especially with the communication.
They've struggled with some of that communication on the left side.
Well, because you don't even know. They can show eight, and there are times where then they drop three of them. You have no idea who's coming. You just got to guess almost sometimes.
Absolutely.
Which, to me, if they are going to bring some of those strong blitzes, it's crucial this week And I know there's been a lot of pressure on him, and I think every week we're going to talk about he needs to be a big factor. But it is absolutely crucial for CeeDee Lamb to win off the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, and he won. I mean, the slant he caught was a big play. That just showed you he wins off the line, you get the slant, ball in front, and he's going to make a big play for you.
You are listening to the Love of the Star podcast. The Love of the Star, of course, is an Odyssey podcast. You can find it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.